the resurrection, of course, he becomes, that body becomes a dwelling place of the Spirit of God, quickened by the Spirit. And therefore, if that body represents us, we've now become a dwelling place of the Spirit of God, so it's been a replaced God. So we move into the fact that what we call salvation is really only exchange of the motivating person within us. If the motivating deity within us is the Spirit of self-centeredness, and in Christ's death, representing us, he's out in the dead body, in the dead body, comes the new spirit is the motivating spirit of self-centered love, God. So God, the living God, is replaced the false God in us. To change it. So the gospel is a change of gods, and the God in us is the one who motivates us. So that's what he's saying. He says, you see, you can't go on sinning because you have a new motivation and a new management. You've got a new person. You seem with self-centeredness. You had to live by self-centeredness because the person in you is Mr. Self-centeredness. And you can only be what the person inside you is. Now, if you can't be Mr. Self-centeredness, we aren't talking about temptation now. You may slip into an area like that. You can't live in it self for self, cannot be self for self again after you've been born of God's Spirit, comes the sin as the Saviour and so on, and you've moved into find who you are. You're, the love of God shed abroad in your heart, and you can't be. You're now the new motivation, so the new drive of your life is yourself. You're for God and Christ and people, and how you can begin to be a blessing of others in life instead of being a person who's seeking your own blessing and so forth. And so he's saying, therefore, that the counteract of the fact, the word reckon is really a banking term, like we've got cash in the bank. Count on that as the fact that you're dead in Christ, to being under control of the sin spirit, which caused you, motivated you, just to be self-centeredness, or its force, may have been righteous self-centeredness, or false-righteous self-centeredness, all said there. And count on it now as you're dead indeed and sin, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it hasn't been quite clear that yet. It's meant to be at the spot. The emphasis more is to be on the dead, so we get that out. The Romans 6 is the death chapter, you're out in the old. You are alive, it doesn't take too much about that. You're alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ until you yield your members now in your freedom as agents of righteousness instead of being what they were, agents of sin. Your members, you'll become your humanity, your being, because of that, by which through your emotions, your appetites, your will, you become the expression of the God of other love, in which your basis becomes that you're to be the servant of others as he is. Then he brings in this is where the issue arises. It fits in something there. Because Paul saw through. Now he says, you see, sin won't have dominion of you now because you're not under the law, but under grace. That's a new thing he put in there. We had the law out as it's exposing sins, and then Jesus Christ taking the curse of the law, and therefore the guilt is out, all that. We had that, and that's in the blood of Christ. And I suddenly brought law back again. He says, now in this present life, now I'm talking about the new life, which is Christ in you, not the old one in you. If sin won't have dominion you, dominion over you, because you're not under the law. And why did he say that? Very important. Well, first of all, he diverts for a moment and says, now, oh, you say then, if not under the law, you do what you like. He said, oh, you're dead. He brings these people arguing, you do what you like, or do what you like. Well, you can, you know what you are, of course. But, shall we sin because you're not under the law, under grace? God forbid, he says, because, he says, in the new life when you know it's your slave, you've changed slavery, you've changed bosses. That's what he puts another line there. He says the actual fact is, of course, you are under boss sin, you're under boss Christ now. You're under boss Satan, now you're under boss Jesus. And your life is run by your boss in the old idea of slavery. you fulfill the jobs of your the activities of your boss in your particular realm. And so he shows how you've been, how you become free from the old life and the new one. It's because you obeyed from the faith, that doctrine. He says, you were slaves of sin. Incidentally, you were slaves of sin, the spirit of sin in you, but you obeyed from the heart that former doctrine. He says, no, that's what we're talking about. You obeyed from the heart the fact that you have believed in Jesus Christ, your sin wiped out, and you've gone to the Father now, you recognize that Jesus has taken you over. This is somewhat new, it isn't properly settled yet. And you're under new management. So you're free from the old one. And you're now, if you like to put it that way, under the obligation of the new, and then he's discussing. And then he reminds us that when you, in the old life, you're free to see what you get. You were free from grace. In the old life, you were free from grace. You get what you like, what you get, just a mess. He says, aren't you ashamed now? Look back at the things you've got, what fruit you get out of that, he says. The things that were your shame. We know that, don't we? Then those things are death. We look back now, but now we look back and say, we know those things are this fruitlessness, this emptiness, to say the least. That's the old false freedom you had. Freedom from being God's man to be a devil's man. Now if you change around, you're free from being a devil's man to be God's man. That's more incidentally put it in. To show a ridiculous stage you could continue in the old. You can't, because you can't, the new boss will take you over. But that hasn't really solved our problem yet. And that's why he then moves on into this famous seventh chapter of Romans, where he discusses freedom from the law. Now, he said freedom of sin. We've done that. Freedom of sin in the blood. Freedom from sin, if you recognize that identified in Christ as your ultimate spirit of sin, who caused you to sin, being your capacity to self-centered. Sins are, you get that plain, don't you? Sins are occasional products. Sin is the principle you live by. You cannot live born again and don't live in the principle I'm for self, because that's what broke at the cross. Your sins, you may slip into occasionally. That's only sins. And he deals with that a little later on. But you cannot compulsively be, oh, you're not born again. If you're born again, the new spirit of self-giving self, the spirit of Christ, has taken you over, and you're on this new compulsion, which your whole, and you go back to what he says in part, I didn't go into detail, in 2 Corinthians 5, where he says, you go to any man, if you're coming to this new life, Christ, you go to even the old man out of flesh. You see, all men potentially what they're meant to be, either redeemed people or they're meant to be redeemed, they can be. You don't see things on the earth, you've got a new outlook on the world. How it can be an agent to bless people and please God. You don't even know yourself, new self, you don't even that. Under this new dominion. But then he brings up this question of there's a troublesome spot here which you've got to get right, and that's the law. Now he said, the law was God's potent way, powerful way, in which he confronted us with who we really are in our unsaved days. You see, we never were devils. We were children of the devil, servants of the devil, agents of the devil. We weren't devils, we hadn't become fixed devils. As I say, a fixed devil means to be very simple, to say, I am that, I am for myself, period. And presume that if a coin demand, he can't be changed. He can't meet, he'd become a fixed, the opposite. We were deceived, fixed, you saw that. Captured, we became captures. The devil didn't make us, he made it, stole us. Led captivity, captive. We were devil captives, made God captives, we're captives. And that's why God constricted us, that's why the Holy Spirit gathered us. And that's because underneath our real being never was a devil. Paul said that in his great Acts 17 speech, where he says, for the whole people live in him, they belong to him. In him they live and move and have their being. Their basic being is a form of God's being. So because of the three persons, I reject being God's. I don't accept that I'm God's. I operate my being as for myself. But really it's him. Because it's God's being, I know underneath what I ought to be. Now there's the beginning key of a lost person. We're not lost in the step, we don't know what we ought to be. We have that let's call it a conscience, that enlightenment. That's very important. We're not lost, instead the devil's lost, and eternally lost. We can become so. And while we remain so, we go that way. We are not basically fixed as that. Now it's on that level the law comes in. Now the law comes in and demands us. It's a little uncertain, given Romans 7, who the old man was to. I don't think it makes clear. Well, he's saying you were married and under certain laws you had marriage. The law of marriage puts you under law. Unless there's been a death, you're not free to marry somebody else. Unless there's been a death of your mate. Now, he says, in that marriage, there are demands there on you. It looks as if he means that your marriage was to the law. You could say it's marriage to sin. I'm not sure. We were bound to sin. We were captured by sin. I don't think Paul makes a claim. But what I mean, in that sin condition, thank God the law came there. You belong to me. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be doing that. So there's always this guilt that you shouldn't be doing that. That's how we knew. You shouldn't be doing that. You shouldn't be. No, you shouldn't. But you are, of course. So we try to escape the law and pretend it isn't there. But thank God there's a guilt in all humanity. We know we ought to be. That's why politics always try to do the best. We always try to make a best solution because we know we ought to make a best solution. We say we ought to have brotherhood. We know we ought to have brotherhood. Thank God. That's in us, thank God. Deep within our sins. That's the way it says that there remains some cohesion in humanity. Because otherwise we know what we ought to be. When God doesn't leave, we're all sheep. Prodigal sons. And that's where the law operates. And in our own life, it's got at us. Those of us with the wish of the law. They say, you shouldn't be there. No, you shouldn't be. And then we try to run away and hide and pretend, but underneath, thank God, nobody is happy or at peace with a fallen person. Because there's a law there, and maybe a sense which they're real marriage is to a law. You know, really, law, it's law of God. And you, legally you can be, the devil enslaved you, which really belongs to the law of God. Maybe that's what he means. But he then says, in the death of Christ, you come dead to that. Because that only came to you when you've been caught by this false person. When you were caught up by Satan, and you began to express the expression of Satan, self-loving self, in that was this law. And Lord, you ought to be that now. You're not meant to be there. You know that. And never let it alone. And so while we were in that possession under Satan, law uttered us. Now, of course, the subtlety was, I told you before, Satan made us feel independent. You ask, you know yourself, not one in a million of us in our unsaved days thought Satan was in us. We probably said we did the works of Satan. We probably admitted influence of Satan. But now Satan's living his life in me. We see other people have demons, we don't say we have them. So you see, the deeper truth is known. That's where we've been deceived. The Bible says here, sin deceives you. Sin deceives you. I told you, deceives is a very serious word. Blood is used, you just don't know. It also says that God is sort of blinded our minds if we don't know who we are. Sin makes you think you are what you're not. That's far worse. See, Satan's I'm the self. See, Satan has light. Jesus said this very subtle thing in Sermon on the Mount. He says, if the light which is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? You think you're enlightened in the darkness. That's much worse. If the light which is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? You think it's right? That's where we've been. We thought we had light. We're decent people, so and so, and we have no idea what we're doing about Satan. We don't take what Jesus said, you are the father of the devil, we accept that at all. We don't accept we're doing his lust. We may say we do a few things. We regard ourselves as responsible. We don't see we've got a motivating devil inside us. We didn't know that. How deep it is. We didn't know that. Now, the subtlety of that has been, it's made me think, I'm myself. I'm just myself. I'm just, if you like, a selfish self. That's myself. I've sinned, okay. And I thought, you see, I hadn't known that yet. And therefore, my problem is, because I thought I was a self-reliant self, and of course the law was getting at me, and it got me under conviction, and got me saved, but I still think I'm a self-reliant self. That's why my mistake is. I still think, well, I'm saved now, I've got, therefore, this is a very subtle thing, because the whole of this life claims self. Whole of this world, that's what it's called, the life and the wicked one. It says, you do what you want. Everything in life is follow your own way, make your own reactions, do this. We can't help it. That's human life. We're always having, everything is disturbing us in self-reactions. Oh, like it. But why about this? How about that? I could be nothing else. Now, see, while I think that I haven't got that separation from that death of inner spirit light, I think I'm a responsible person. I shouldn't do this. Now, I still remain where the law is. The law is there while I think I'm independent. If I'm deceived and think I'm still independent, the law is still there. The law is there if you run yourself, run it. That's what the law is. Oh, it can't be what you should be, which you couldn't be, of course. So the law came in, Satan got us, but if you see the thing we are saying, we didn't know we were being murdered by Satan, the law said, okay, don't steal then. No, I didn't go and do it, of course. So the law is always there while I'm the force. Misapprehension, I'm an independent soul, which is what Satan made me think of. Satan became what he thought was independent, because you're a servant of God, he said, he tried to bypass that one. So he made me like that. Now do you see the subtlety? I come into the deemed life, I know Christ my Savior, that's out, I've got the outer light. I might even say to a point, I'm dead to sin. I might go so far as say, I'm not controlled, I doubt it. I doubt how I understand Romans 6 at all, in that first stage. Of course, I'm not governed by Satan. I know I'm governed by Christ. But I've got this idea, well, I'll be better. I'll be better. I'll be better. I must react. I must go by my reaction. Now, the moment I do that, that's law. And the law says, hold on. Then you're caught. Because, you see, independent self serves itself better than me of it. So, while I think I'm independent, I'm tempted to be angry. I'll be angry. I can't get rid of it. I'll be angry. I'm glad by the thing. Because that's part of me. I can't escape. I think I can. I can't escape it. I may say Christ is there to help you, but while I think I'm there as a person responsible, then I stand. Well, I can't. And I know all my passes, my temptations. I think I shouldn't be like that. So it goes a whole period of life where we're bothered by, I shouldn't be like that. I don't want to be. And this is the famous from the seven. Well, I don't want to be, but I don't want to do that, I go and do it. I should do that and don't do it. I'm completely in a mess. Paul said he first found himself over the question of covetousness. Paul's a very high man. You see, you read Philippians, I mean, he's a righteous blameless. He really was a legalist, he really was a moralist. He had total ethics, except for self-love itself, which is the highest ethics. He didn't know that one. There's one else he'd got. And he was only caught by covetousness. It suddenly occurred to him, oh, I'm fine. Shouldn't covet. Covetousness isn't out of sin. It's inner sin. Well, you can't manage inner sin for yourself. He says, here it is. In these, in the Romans 7, verse 8, the verse 7, the Lord said, thou shalt not covet. Romans 8 says, sin, taking occasion thou covet, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For that law of sin was dead. In other words, he said, when I say I shouldn't covet, I want to covet everything. I want to covet everything I shouldn't covet. I was caught by an inner desire that beat me. He said, I can handle it. I shouldn't steal, I shouldn't murder, I shouldn't be an adultery. But I shouldn't desire, that's too much. I can't take handle that one. And he's caught. By law. God's law says you shouldn't do it. While you're there, you shouldn't do it, then you're done. And then he goes on to say, this is how sin gets you. Sin plays a trick on you. You think you're an independent person. Well, you may think you're a new person in Christ. All right, you're a person. You haven't got it. It's Christ in you doing it. You haven't got that. You know it's there. You haven't got it clear that the one really running all out is he. You've got him in a relationship. You haven't got him in union yet. You might think, I think I'm out of the devil. But you've got the same question bothering you. And then you see temptation comes off, so you shouldn't, then you're guilty. I did that, I've lost the temper again, I've done this, I've done that, and the other, and I'm all caught up. I shouldn't do it, I shouldn't do it. Now I'm out of guilt. That's what Paul said he went through. And he says in Romans 7, he gave a whole description, you know, how I did things I shouldn't do. He said, there's something wrong with me. He said, didn't I sin it within me? You see, in me, You see, he said, if he knew the new eye, he said, the new eye, I delight in the law of God, offered him a man. The other said, well, Peter, I delight in my inner self, my inner spirit, that's how Christ is. And yet this thing gets me, because you see, he doesn't know he's not he but Christ. And why do you think it's himself? Then sin gets him. Because sin's in independent self. Why I try to fight my own battle, sin's gotten, because I'm that independent self, sin and the desire of sin in my flesh gets me. Can't conquer them. So he said, I couldn't get this thing right. Inside me, I didn't want to do them. Yet somehow, as I followed on, I couldn't conquer them. I couldn't conquer them. That chapter full of I. I think he said in the last verse 24, I'm a wretched man. Oh, wretched man. Now, of course, that doesn't mean he's a rotten man. He was that, like we all are. But it's not like say, but he isn't rotten, but he may be wretched. We go through the day, we're not rotten, but we're wretched. But we haven't handled this thing right. We haven't seen somehow how to make it work. This was the moment in Paul's life, in 24th chapter, where he suddenly saw this comfort. Somebody else, who should deliver me from the body of this death? Who? Oh, I can't do it. And that's his answer. In his condition now, I can't do it. Who deliver me? And then he found, his answer was in the replacement inside him by the. He may have known, you may say, the old statement out, by the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of life. The law of the principle of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. And he goes a little later on to say, the Spirit of God was his, and so on. Now, see main point that Paul gets to is that while I think I'm independent, even though I do think I may not be governed by Satan, but I think I'm independent, that still I'm still, it's a lie. There's no thing to be independent person. There never was an independent person. This chapter talks about a change of marriage. Romans 7 says, you see, you were married, and to sin and law. Sin and the law saying you shouldn't belong there at all. It's under guilt. And I said, that's out in Christ's death. That old marriage is out. You haven't got, you've got a new marriage. While you belong to independent self, so law gets at you. And law says you shouldn't do the other. And then you're under guilty. Now, when you died in Christ, you died to sin and law. That's just the important point of the sermon. It says you died to the law. Wherefore, my vision, you become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Why? Because the law is there. While I'm under Satan, while I think I'm independent, you do, and under Satan think I should run my own life. The law comes and shouldn't do that. So while I'm related to Satan, and therefore to sin, the law gets me. And tells me to be better, I can't be. The law is there. Tell me better, I can't be better. Now, when I found the death of Christ, I'm not only dead to sin dwelling in me, I'm dead to the law, which is there, saying, I ought to do so-and-so, you ought to do so-and-so. Why? Because you've got a new marriage. And in place of the old spirit of error causing you to do something, you've got the new spirit of Christ in you now, Christ in you. This is a new person being in the life of Christ. Now, when you know that the real person is Christ, it becomes a know-how to you. You know that the real person is Christ. We cease from the independent reaction we used to have. That's our trouble. Romans 8, an independent reaction. I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do that. I shouldn't do that. The law says you, yes, you should, and yes, you shouldn't. They're all mixed up with the independent self and law, and they're guilty. You struggle and can't do it. Now, when you move into the new one, when it comes conscious, the real you is Christ in you, the Spirit of God in you. Now, you don't listen to independent self anymore, so law has no law, you're dead to law. See, you don't listen to independent self. Why? Because, you see, you live a life under Christ's control, under this new union, when things turn up which are contrary to that, now instead of saying I shouldn't do so and so, you say, well, that's just my auto reaction, but I go back to Christ. And Christ handles it. So you aren't fighting so you shouldn't do a thing, you accept it. And you accept your temptations as a springboard to faith. There used to be a springboard to South Africa, that was our trouble. Our temptation used to be, well, I'm here, I'm a saved person, I shouldn't be angry, I shouldn't have a long short, I shouldn't be resentful, I shouldn't be so tense, I shouldn't handle things in life wrong, I shouldn't do this, have wrong relations, all the rest of it. I shouldn't. See, I've got that idea. And then the law, of course, says you should, and you're caught. Because I'm living a delusion of independence. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as delusion. Roman term delusion. We've moved from a old marriage to a new one. In the old marriage, yes, there was sin and law. In Jesus Christ, you're dead not only to sin, but the law, which says you ought, you ought, you ought. That's out, because you're not there longer to be, you ought. You ought out, because you ought belongs to, when you're a wrong person, you ought to be right. Now you cease to be in that condition now. In the new life, the new understanding, the person in you is Christ. Now when I come to you, I come to you all kinds of temptations. Now you no longer say you ought. You say, I've got it clear now, this is Christ management. So you accept your temptation as your springboard. If you're worried, I'm worried. You don't say you ought to be worried. You should cut out that you ought. You say, that's my humor, that's not me. And my humanity is pulling at me. See, what temptation really does, it pulls me back to an illusion of self. See, when I've got this thing right, my new union is not either Christ. I move now, where I haven't mentioned it in Galatians 3:20, which is mentioned in the extra terms in Romans 6. My new self, it's this law of the spirit of life, the principle of spirit of life. The spirit of life is the me in me. The spirit of life, my life's me. The spirit of life is me, came through Christ delivering me from the old, through his death and resurrection. And it says, you're not in the flesh, you're in the spirit of God dwells in you, which is Christ dwells in you. He's replaced you. Now, through in the old relationship, through Satan, I got the fourth idea I'm independent, which is a lie anyhow. I was really being expressed to Satan. I thought I was independent, so I just thought to myself about running my own show, and the law kept saying we shouldn't do it. Now I get my sins out and about the Christ. Now I still come over, I've still got this sketch. I think I'm not under Satan in extensive control, but I think I'm still independent. That's the lie. The lie is the idea I'm independent, that's a lie. So I come over to the new life, and because while I think I'm independent, the law is still there, and so you shouldn't do it in your court. What do you say? When the day should come, say, of course I'm human, but that's just, I'm not managing this, you're managing this. You don't take guilt. You don't take, I shouldn't. You accept God, I am angry, okay, God handles that. I am white, okay, God, you handle that. You don't, any longer, you're not there fighting your body. Your body, it actually turns quite round, the body becomes precious to you. It becomes an asset. But temporarily, in this area, you haven't got so far as to see the positive of the body, you tend to see the negative. Because you've been through the stage, you've been fighting against your failures, your weaknesses, your strains, your traces. And this is what, you're more conscious of the failing sense than you are of Christ in you. You haven't got quite settled in yet. This is Romans 7, 8. So in Romans 7, 1, you see, you've got this consciousness, this false consciousness. Now it dawns on you, it's lying. That's a dawning. Somewhere Paul had a dawning. Oh, wretched man, I can't do it. I shouldn't be running this thing any longer. He saw through the illusion of thinking he ought to be something. And then when you are, if your independent self has got you. He cut that out. I ought to be. Why? Oh, because I never was there. I mean, there was independence. And he missed. The moment you're born again, you've got new marriage. That's what you don't know. You move to the death and resurrection, that's a new marriage. And in the death starts the old marriage, in the resurrection in the new marriage. Now you don't know that, because you don't know that, you know you belong to Jesus. You haven't got the inner thing right. You haven't got that outlook right. So you think you are your own self, fighting. That's the lie. You may never realize that you were governed by Satan in that sense, doesn't matter. You may not accept that it's... You see, when you've got the false union, you can see the new one. If you recognize, I was in love by Satan expressing it for me, it's easy to move over and say, I'm now in love by Christ, he's handing it to me. It's a change of union, you see. You can see it better that way. But we didn't know that course of union. It's not all right, we haven't died. Because of that, we've had this idea, I'm a sinner, now I'm cleansed by God of Christ, I'm justified, I'm still a person, that's my fault. That's my goal. No, I'm still a person. That's a lie. I've moved from a person invoked by Satan to a person invoked by Christ. The God in me has changed. The motivator in me is death. I haven't got clear. So in order to get it clear, so once and for all I can settle myself in where it belongs, I have to go to a place in which I mistakenly think I'm there. I'm no longer the old bad person I was, but I think I ought to be different. This I ought to come to you. And so we've got to go through a miserable period. We want to be right, we can't make it. And we live under inner guilt, well, I get off this thing, get off that thing, get off this thing, get that sort of thing. And then I live under a kind of silly guilt. Because I think I ought to be different. I ought, no. I move over to a daring thing. I am different. I move over to I am. I am different. I was in Satan. I now am in Christ. And Christ is the me in me. That's why I always say at this moment, although it's not in Romans, the most total verse is the Galatians 2:21. Because Galatians 2:20 says this now, it says, I've been crucified with Christ. I got that. I say, in Christ, my human self is no longer dominated by Satan, who's running me. I'm out. Now the all important thing is you get that first. That's the reckoning of daily unto sin. Get that. Got that clear. Now, you haven't got to care of life under God. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, it's more than that. A life under God isn't a complete statement, because you haven't got the Romans 8 yet. That's a relationship. It's not a relationship, it's a union, it's a replacement. It isn't a relationship under God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's a replacement. Christ has taken me over. That's the deeper thing. You can't quite get that yet, because you've got this false concept, I'm a person. A kind of independent, it's a lie. And so Paul seeks to show that to us in Romans 7. By a statement, you're dead to the law, because if you're there, the law shouts at you. It shows you're not there. Because the law is there, well, I think I'm an independent person. Or I'm the Satan. That's the law. It came to you, it shouldn't be that. You belong to me. So while you're under law, it means you're in a false illusion, you're there. If you're dead to the law, you're not there. That's the great truth, that statement, you're not there. Because the law shouts at you, why are you independent? Now, when I move over, and this is the complete thing that Paul did, he said, not only am I crucified, because, yes, I live, that's where you placed. That's the important point. Romans, Galatians 20 says, I'm crucified with Christ, yet not I. No, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, because it is me. My living self is not I. Get it? I'm crucified with Christ, I'm out in that old relationship. Now, I'm no longer an I hacking about here. I live, no, I don't, Christ is in me. That's the replacement. That means my real I now is the living deity, Jesus Christ, is the person living in me. Now, see, if I get that, and I've been disillusioned about this false idea of self-running itself, if I get that, now then, under my new life, I begin to be free, because I begin to be myself. Because I'm not I, I'm with Christ in me. Now you're coming to a new thing. That's where Paul goes on then to say, I'm crucified with Christ out. I live, I don't live Christ within me. That's the middle changeover. You change over, I'll say, from wrong self in Satan to no self, not you but Christ. Then you come back to right self. Now if I now live in the flesh, I live it. By the recognition of that fact, faith always substance, by the recognition of faith of the Son of God, who loved me, given to it for me. Oh, now I've come out. Now then, what happens? The new free life is, I'm God's precious person. He owns this. Every bit of me is beautiful. It's under new management. My body, my appetite, I'm all new. I'm beginning to have an I am life. That's what I am. Now in the middle of that, here comes these training grounds. In the middle of that, all the time, there's a certain area of life when we just enjoy ourselves, right? Everything's wonderful. But in the middle, something buggers all the time. Family relationships, tiny details, big details, we've got our problems at home, our problems with ourselves, problems with poor, our problems with business. Now then, your happy self in Christ doesn't relate to happy. Because this is, now here got your watch. If you come to this new relationship, and you say, this is settled in me, I know now You live by spontaneity. I have inner consciousness. It's not that I have to see. Now then, when these change, any kind, strange, any kind, all negative comes, being human is not negative. Work like that. You know, wait a minute. They think of the time, wait a minute, I'm not loving that. And then if you don't fight it, not there. You don't take the law. You handle that. God, you replace my worries by your confidence. You replace my strain by your release. Sure, there, your release. I'm in your release. And you see, in face of the temptation, which is not sin, the temptation to feel worried, feel strained, feel tense, feel insufficient, feel so-and-so, all that feeling yourself. If you get that, that's your practicing ground, that's your adventure, your adventure of faith. Say, well, now my child will say, of course I'm weak, but he's strong. Of course I'm wired, but he's got the answer. Of course I've got problems, he's got solution. And you begin to live a new habit life, in which your human negative becomes your jumping off point for positive. In the ordinary life, a certain amount of it is just released. You're just enjoying things, all right. That area, that's just gone around, it's news. But in the midst, it always comes if you don't enjoy, either small or large. I know it within myself. The moment something bugs me, because, that's it. I'm happy. Well, the moment I'm bugged, well, I know. That shows something negative is getting at me. And what it's doing is trying to pull me out to forget I'm Christ. I'm Christ in me. I forget I'm Christ, it's in me. I'm in back in the mission. And then I'm in trouble at once. So see, I have to get the practicing ground when that pull, as if I'm a bit of elastic, out the I fear, I resent, I'm worried, I'm tense, I can't handle that, what should I do with this junior? I'm back where I was. I'm not alone in you. I'm not I. That's bunk. I'm not I. Where have I gone wrong? You're back, oh Christ, you meant that to me because you're going to show a pair. You're going to show a piece through here. You're here. And now, so the law's not in it. Because Christ is the law. Because the law, Christ is the law, because he's the law of love. So there's no more love on you at all. Law is only on you. Why do you think you're dependent? Therefore, when the temptation comes in, you stop by law. Oh, I'll watch. You stop that way, you see. The moment I think the law says, hey, I got you. It's a lie, right? It's an illusion. So whoever says an illusion, there's what I say in independence, that it was said in the beginning that you were married, you were dead to law in marriage. Romans 7:1 says, law had to be over you as long as you live. If the husband's dead, she's used to the law of her husband. While she's living, she's married another man, she's an adulteress. If you're dead, your husband's dead, you're free from that law. So marry again. So he says, no, you become dead to the law by the body of Christ, you'll be married to another. Verse 4, even him who's raised from the dead becomes new marriage. So where we're married, he doesn't make it quite clear. If you're married to sin, and with the sin was the law, so you're going to the Torah, you're going to me. So with the sense married to the law, which is, you shouldn't be that. That makes us guilty. Now you're dead in Christ both for sin and law. You're dead to the power of sin, and therefore law's not there because you're no longer dependent. You're never aware. You've moved out of that whole illusion of dependence. Back from a false dependence to that dependence. And say, it's Christ in me. It's God in me, the Holy Spirit's in me. Now then, my self-conscious adventure is part of positive, I use it actively, I'm actively free, be what I like, and get into it, it's lovely. But I've got a free person, spirit operating through me. Where in the midst of that always coming these negative things, sort of pouring in me, then I know how to do it now. I know I have it. Wait a minute, it's not me. It may take time sometimes, I move back. I was just saying just recently, Thelma. Folks don't know her here, but I only met her once, maybe a few months ago, up in the north, and she's young in the kingdom of God, she'd be about 40 years of age, but she had found this, she caught on to Christ in her. About 2 weeks ago, she was a desperate letter from her. She said, what am I to do? She says, my husband's left with another woman. I said, I'm full of rage and resentment and revenge, I did everything, I tore the pieces. See, you talk about Christ in you means nothing to me. I say, Christ in you means nothing to me. Help me out. She said, I'm just full of it. I taught the people what I do, and what about my children and all this. And I say, Christ in you doesn't mean anything. I go back and said, I don't know how I put it, but I said, more or less, you silly fool. I said, you're not you, you're Christ. Sin of Christ, you are Christ. You mistake them. You fighting in Christ, you are Christ. The real you is Christ in you. And I said, why do you fight your fight? Because any human, any woman wouldn't be fighting a husband that's done for you. Of course you've got rage. If you're wrong, that's right. Of course you've got rage. Of course you've got revenge and hurt. Of course you've got temptation. Who wouldn't? Left deserted you again. That's not the point. Because you are this vast mistaken woman said, you're not there. And then you cry and shout, you shouldn't be. You're not there, you're Christ. Now I said, you take a position that you live, no, you don't live, Christ is in you. And he's the person you, you know what happens, you're for trouble, I said. Because of course Christ loves the enemy, including your husband, it's all tough on you. See, he wants to get your husband saved, he's the saviour already. And he wants to get the other wife, the other woman saved too. So you've got to begin loving him now, you're for it. And you begin to find with Christ you've got an adventure in which you can dare to say, you will use this, Lord, to give my husband a good beat up on Luch. You can ask him for that one, he deserves it. See this? Ask your children. I said, if you at this juncture can show your children love for a husband who's done this, you've taught them more than all they learned in 13 years of school. They can see a torn-up wife who can still say, well, you've done wrong, but I'm loving and so on. You were coming. I've had a little message. I'm getting at you. I had bursts the other way, and I'm living through. But you see the vast difference? See, so Romans 8 is a replacement. It says, then the righteousness of the Lord is fulfilled in you. When you've got this replacement of the Spirit in you, the righteousness of the Lord is fulfilled in you, walking after the flesh and after the Spirit. How is it fulfilled in me? Because the righteousness of the Lord, of course, is Christ. Christ's law is a person who lives like that, who does that? Christ, of course. So all that your stuff goes out, and you dare to say, but this is the point, you dare to say, I'm no longer I, I'm Christ in me. The real me is Christ. You can say, if you knew once, you no longer you, you're Satan in you. That's what we didn't know. If you get the two in balance, you see, he was Satan in you. Because Satan had just said, Mr. Self-Centering, and Mr. Righteous, and a very nice fellow, but he shouldn't be so self-righteous. And that's gone out in Christ. And now Christ in there is self-giving love in me. And I begin to make the affirmation that then the righteousness of the Lord is fulfilled in you. I like to say here, because I don't, human ways, the Bible doesn't give it as a crisis. The Bible gives it as a known fact. That in Christ you not only in his blood were cut off from your sins and their consequences, but in your union in his body, you're cut off from the false deity and put in the right deity. And they cut you off from the law which went with the false deity, and you're in where the law is inside you. There's no more law, you don't obey any outer law, you're governed by the Spirit. But the fact is that most of us have met us another crisis. Very few of us have moved from Romans 1 to 5, which is the peace with God and the outer relationship, to Romans 6 to 8. Where I found that I'm a replaced person, that my real self is alive in Christ. All I mean is this, faith is always substance. Now we saw in Romans 5 that first faith, I have a peace now. I'm in God, accepted by God, and I love God. I've moved into I am life. I'm not trying to get something, it's not me. The Spirit of God's come into me and caused me to know the situation, and love of God begins to shed through me, and so on and so forth. Right?
This is the end of side one. Please stop your machine and turn the tape over.